Empower Radio presents Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney and Kenny Brixey. You'll find inspiration, support, and simple steps to help you on the path to a better life. Simple steps lead to real change. Here are your hosts, Cheryl Maloney and Kenny Brixey.
Welcome to the Simple Steps Real Change Show on Empower Radio. Most of us can spot the obstacle standing between us and our ultimate life pretty easily. The path beyond is not always so easy to see. Today we discuss ways to re-engage in living your life and ultimately break through those roadblocks. First up on the show, we discuss the benefits you receive with every step you take towards those obstacles and ultimately towards your goal. Some of our Facebook friends have said that the steps they take only reveal more of the problem. We are here to tell you that when this happens, it is actually a great accomplishment. Also, in just a bit, we are going to introduce you to our amazing guest, Mark Mather. Mark has taken steps, become fully engaged in his own life, and will share an amazing story of thriving through mountains of obstacles. Hello, everyone. This is Kenny Brixey. I'm here with Cheryl Maloney, and during this show, we will offer you some ideas and encouragement in dealing with the obstacles in your own life. Hi, Cheryl. What a wonderful and amazing things have you discovered on your life path this week?
Well, I've got to tell you, this has been one of these weeks where everything that I thought that I wanted to do and how I wanted my path to go, all of a sudden I sat there and went, you're planning too much. You're putting too much effort into the plan and that end game instead of enjoying the journey we're on. So I'm excited to be able to talk about that tonight, Kenny. Before we get going, we just want to say thanks a lot to Brent Carey. And we say this every week. Brent is the godsend from Empower Radio, who makes this show possible, and an amazing thinker all by himself. And we've also got Nate Armbruster here with us producing our show. Nate is actually a comedian. So those of you that are out there, listen for that name, Nate Armbruster, in the future, because I think, you know, he's going to change the life of comedy coming forward. So anyhow, we're happy to be here. And Kenny, why don't you talk a little bit? It's been an interesting week for you as far as your goals. Tell everyone what you've been going through.
Yeah, I've been working on a program for a while now. And in this program, came out of the box with this certain look and feel to it for me. And all of a sudden, when facing some of the logistic areas of this program that I'm not real good at, I'm faced with some evolution, if you will. And it kind of fits in perfectly with what we're talking about tonight. I could look at that evolution as a huge obstacle and let it stop me or be a roadblock or a detour, or I can take a step towards it. Well, when I decided to do that yesterday in a meeting, I took a step towards that obstacle and then another and then another. And all of a sudden, this obstacle has taken on possibility and has created some options for me. So it's been an amazing little awakening, because it's exactly what I've been trying to teach all along. And now I'm practicing it. So it's been really, really cool.
You know, isn't that fun? We talk about this all the time. We see all of these big obstacles in front of us. It's kind of like things in the rearview mirror seem larger than they are. And things in front of us that we don't know enough about, and I don't know about you, Kenny, it happens with me. If I don't know enough about something or anything at all, it always seems larger than life. So you almost get a fear. Not always a true fear, but you get this fear, this apprehension about, oh, you know, that's more than I can take on or more than I can handle. And then the closer you get to really examining it, you realize, maybe it's not that bad after all. Maybe it's something that opens your eyes, like you say, to another possibility.
Yeah, it's the perfect example that I see is standing on a beach with a cliff behind me and the ocean in front of me. Every step I take up that cliff, which could have been an obstacle to me getting where I wanted to go, actually broadens my view. It gives me a whole different look at things. And, you know, that's looking at the cliff itself. It's looking back out at the ocean. My whole panoramic view of life changes with every step. And that's the same thing going through this stuff.
Well, and you know, it's probably the reason why there's so much in Simple Steps, that when I started creating this, it was, if we just shift our perspective just a tiny little bit either way, and that's getting closer to that obstacle, you see things differently. You know, I remember watching a movie once, and I was sitting in the back of the theater, and, you know, my view was blocked. Well, I happened to be working in this theater, so I got to see the movie a lot. When I moved to a different angle and a different seat, I saw things on that screen that I'd never seen before.
Yeah.
By simply just, in that case, physically moving, but it's the same thing with the positive and negative mind shift. If we look at something and talk about the fact that, oh, my example, I don't want to be poor. Okay, well, why don't I focus on, instead of what I don't want, because that's just bringing more of it to me, talk about what I do want. And you and I were talking a little bit before. This is, you know, my journey this week. I've been focusing on what I want to accomplish in the future. So I rent a home right now, and ultimately I want to own a home. Well, there's a lot of things that have to go on before I can do that, but I've been so caught up on, I've got to own a home, I've got to own a home, I've got to own a home, that I'm not enjoying the time that I'm here right now. I live in a beautiful home in a gorgeous neighborhood, and everything is just fine, but I'm so obsessed with, I've got to get this now, that I wasn't stopping to enjoy every moment of my life. And that's been my awakening this week.
Yeah. It's so important to be grateful for and enjoy what you have now. You're so right. And I have a perfect example of that as well, in that I want a certain kind of motorcycle. And when I get too focused on that, I sometimes forget how much fun I have riding the one I have. And you can get too focused on the end game at times, and it takes away from your pleasure and your living now.
Well, and yeah. Kenny, let me ask you a question. I mean, you've been coaching for years and have done a lot of seminars. As you're interacting with people that just are obsessed about their goal, are you finding that there is something else that's going on with them? For example, I keep thinking that if someone is so obsessed, like I have been, with one thing, it's because there's some kind of fear. If I don't get it, maybe I'm a failure. Do you run into that?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely... There's a whole multitude of things, really, and that's one of them. That's one of the big things. It's a fear of failure. There's also oftentimes there's a comparison going on. Well, so-and-so has this, and I don't, so theirs is better. Well, not necessarily. You know, you've got to look at it. So, yes, definitely look at what's driving that goal. And doesn't mean the goal is bad. Just look at your intent in getting there. What is it really going to serve? And that will help you figure out how important it is to drive harder, drive slower, slow down, whatever the case may be. But ultimately, it's be present, be now, know what you have right now. Be grateful for what you have right now, no matter what it is, and then allow yourself to move forward.
You know, it is so true. And the other thing you just mentioned a little bit, you know, you look at others and you compare and you think that, oh, they have something better than I do, or this, that, and the next thing. And I had a real life example of this yesterday because, you know, I'm pretty open with people. I mean, I had it all and lost every single bit of it. So in my 50s, I'm starting all over again. And I was walking CJ, my dog, and around the corner came this woman who, in a car, she was driving a very nice Lexus, who looked like she had truly been through a very rough day. And I thought, and it may be a rough life, I couldn't figure that out. And I just looked at her and went, how in the world is someone that has had such a rough life driving that car? Well, then I realized she was a local doctor. She probably had a very hard day with patients and everything else. But you look at people and you make these assumptions that they're doing better or worse, and that the only thing that does is set you up to either feel bad about yourself or make someone else look worse or feel best about themselves. And when we do that, when we try and put those judgments into life, the only people we're doing a disservice to is ourselves, because we're not being open. Mm-hmm. We're not being open. So that was one that was a rude awakening for myself. I still have thoughts like that because of the experience I've gone through and losing everything. And, mm-hmm. You know, I sit there and go, that's an education even I needed after Simple Steps and everything else.
Yeah, it's Zig Ziglar has the best quote I've ever heard when it comes to this type of conscious thinking and acting in life, and it is this. Somebody once told him motivation doesn't last, and his response was simply, neither do baths. That's why we recommend one a day. It's a nonstop process, and the thing about it is you can let it be a chore or you can let it be fun.
Right.
You know, and for me, I choose to just let it, I let curiosity come in. When I catch myself judging somebody, you know, the whole thing you just talked about with the lady in the car, when I catch myself judging that, it's just stop. I wonder, you know, I wonder what's going on. I wonder what's going on in her life. I wonder if I could help her. I wonder if,
yes,
if she's just got something on her mind. I wonder if she just has a, don't know what it is. I never will unless I go over there and ask her. And I don't always choose to ask. So,
well, and you know, I found myself. I've learned over the times, the last couple of years, to be able to do this more. And I find that when I catch myself doing that right now, that I automatically send a blessing out to that person because I don't know what their life is like. And that pretty much, you know, would describe our guest tonight, wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah, and I'm glad you bring that up because it is time to bring him on. So let's get to it. This is our guest tonight is Mark Mather. Mark knows all about starting over from scratch. He knows all about facing those obstacles, climbing those hills, and he has done this with enthusiasm. He owned his own business only to find that the products used in his services combined with the stress of running a business were killing him. He gave up all that, decided he had enough health left in him to take on the disease that was attacking him, and he actively participated in his own healing. And we'll talk more about what that means here in just a moment. He released his old lifestyle, embraced a new way of living. And ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor and my privilege to introduce you tonight to Mark Mather. Mark, welcome, and how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Kenny. How are you doing?
Oh, doing wonderful. You owned a cleaning business. And you told us that the chemicals combined with the stress of running that business were directly related to cancer. How did the stress and the chemicals contribute to the cancer? And, you know, tell us what type of cancer and how are you doing now with it all?
Well, it was really interesting. It was just kind of one of those things. You're going along in life. You're doing what you have to do on a daily basis. And I decided that I wanted to help people. What's going to be a good way for me to do that? Well, I love to clean. I love to detail clean and take care of different things. So I dove right into that. I did that for about 15 years. Had a great time doing it. It was a wonderful business. And then all of a sudden, I guess you don't realize that the stress and the chemicals and the toxicity is building up in your system. You just don't know it. You don't even have a sense for it. And all of a sudden, one day, whammo, you are thrown into something that you had never asked for or considered would ever happen in your life. And you just, you kind of have to let go of everything. I knew at that point that that the cleaning business was done. I would not be able to go back to it. I received a diagnosis of third stage testicular cancer. The cancer had moved up into my abdominal lymph nodes and into my liver. And I was thrown into an experience that I at first didn't know was going to turn into a wonderful learning experience in my life. But that's what it amounted to. And so I moved forward from that point.
Well, Mark, how are you doing right now? Because, you know, you've gone through a lot. And how are you physically right now?
I'm doing pretty good. I've moved through different stages of recovery. After the cancer is arrested. It's gone. We no longer are dealing with the cancer, which is just, yeah, it's absolutely wonderful. I never would have imagined in my adult life that I would be congratulated by an oncologist. So that was... Yeah. So we're doing really good. The recovery is also an amazing process. Putting your life back together after something that was as traumatic as what I went through. And it wasn't something that I went through for a very long time. We managed from diagnosis to treating the cancer to take care of it in 6 months, which was amazing in and of itself.
But that, and I know that that was a brutal 6 months for you, but you keep talking about realizing that this was a blessing in a lot of ways. Something good would come out of that. I'm sure you never thought of that as you were going through chemotherapy.
No, it's, it's one of those things. You kind of have to. You can't see the future. And when everything is going away from your life at that point, it's really difficult. And you really have no choice but to take, you know, everything moment by moment. And what you're experiencing and how you're experiencing it. It is changing your life. You have to know that. And it's something that you just can't go in reverse. You know, once you start down certain pathways, this is the way it's going to go. And you really have to be able to accept that and know that you're going to come out the other end. It was dark for quite some time before I started to see some light at the end of that tunnel.
Yeah, you had made a comment that really stuck with me, and that was that you had enough health left in you to take on the cancer. Can you explain your thought process, and how that played out for you? You know, how did you come to that realization?
Well, it was really interesting. I'm the type of person that never gets sick. For the last 20 years of my life, I barely had a cold. I never got sick. I literally had not gone to a doctor in 20 years. Mm. So I can remember sitting at that first moment. It was probably a week. I'd had some tests, but I hadn't received the diagnosis. And I can remember sitting in the doctor's office. And it was that moment of, this doctor is going to come through this door. You know, he's going to say one thing or the other to you. You already have a pretty good idea of what it could be. And I guess I looked at that moment and thought, there's something that's going to happen in my life that can create some disbelief. And I already decided before he even came in the room that that's not how I'm going to handle this, regardless of what he tells me. And I just decided right then that I was going to take it lightheartedly. And I was going to accept what he said and just continue this moving forward. That's really all there was to it.
What a wonderful mindset going into something that you know is potentially, it is life-threatening, life-ending. But your attitude was, I'm going to go through this. I'm going to go through this, and I'm going to keep it light, and I'm going to stay positive, which in the face of what you were dealing with is a miracle all by itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I sit here knowing what Jack went through, my husband went through when he was diagnosed with cancer, and his attitude was very much the same. It was 99% of my body is healthy, 1% isn't. I'm going to focus on all this good stuff and move forward that way. Well, I want to ask a question. I guess I want our listeners to know, because you made some pretty radical life-changing decisions by literally purging everything that you had to focus on your treatment. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. well, it was a little scary at first. I didn't have health insurance. I made some radical choices. I had to let go of working. I had to let go of income. I had to let go of my vehicle to get some cash. I did have some support. People were there. So I basically stopped everything and I jumped onto state access health insurance, which was wonderful. I had some reservations at first whether I would receive the quality of treatment that other people with actual health insurance had. And that wasn't a question after a while. I got over that really quickly and got the very best treatment that I could possibly receive. And it was hard. So I ended up basically having to thumb rides from friends and really make my way with nothing. And so it was amazing.
Well, that alone, I've got to tell you, Mark, as I've listened to your story over the last month or so, I sit here and go, the courage that you showed in the face of what you were facing with cancer is beyond amazing. Where did you get this fortitude from? Is this something in your DNA that you've had all along? I'm just, How'd you do this?
It's true. It's something, a lot of these things in my life that have just played out and that I came to realize about myself were things that I have been carrying with me all along. But you kind of forget. You forget when you were a child, some of the things that you came up against and some of the things that you realized about yourself so long ago, and then life took over and led you in other directions, and you tend to forget some of these things about yourself. So here they were, they reemerged. I really received so much blessing and benefit from my mother. We lost her to cancer 20 years ago, and she was one of those people. She beat all the doctor's odds and estimates for her cancer and what she was going through. She's been an inspiration to me all these years, obviously. And I just knew at some point in my own life that I would have a similar opportunity to really prove to myself, you know, what this is really all about.
You made a comment that I just love, and it basically was, and I don't remember the exact verbiage you said, but it was, you have a choice even in this. To me, that is just so incredibly powerful. How did you see your choices? And then also, how has it affected your recovery, your attitude, your choices, since then?
Yeah, it's just one of those things. You do have choices in every moment, regardless of what they're telling you, regardless of what they're not telling you, that you personally have a choice in everything that goes on. I can remember having to make some of those choices while they were pumping the chemotherapy into me, and accepting, you know, what this was doing to my body, and realizing that, you know, it doesn't have to be this way. That you have every moment to exist in your life. And it came a lot closer, you know, and realizing that, you know, this could be the end of something really big, your life. And that even in these last precious moments, whatever you have, that you get to make choices in all these moments. And that's what moves you forward. If you don't make these choices and you don't realize that you have choices, you might just sit still and it's all going to pass you by.
Well, in the course of all of these choices that you were making going through, you've got to be worn down by everything that's gone on. Did you ever have a moment where you're going, I can't do this anymore?
Sure. Yeah.
How'd you get through them?
Well, that's the physical nature of going through chemotherapy and receiving those treatments. And basically they told me, you know, immediately, and I can remember the worst day of chemotherapy is the first day of chemotherapy. You go in there and they basically tell you straight up, if you can survive this treatment, there is a huge chance that we can cure the cancer. And you think, uh-oh, you know, what is this treatment going to do to me?
Wow.
And you have to let go of the physical realities that are happening at that point. And you have to rely on something deeper within yourself to get through these challenges, because, you know, you can stand there and look in the mirror. And I did this quite a bit. And you are amazed at what it has done to you physically, but you still feel this energy inside you that's telling you something completely different from what you're seeing in the mirror at that point. So you have to go with that.
Well, and you know, that in itself is a statement that I think everyone can learn from and run with. And that's that if there's something deep inside of you that's telling you different than what you may be physically experiencing, you need to listen to that voice. And you did. Now, I'm going to ask a personal question. How old are you?
I'm 43.
So you're very young. Sit there and go, it's 43, you've gone through a lot of life so far, but you're sitting there with someone saying, okay, if you can survive the chemotherapy, if you can make it through this, you can survive. And at 43, it's kind of like the song, live like you were dying, because at this point, that's what you're doing.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's, I sort of live that way already. I had a concept for that. At this point, it's sort of a blessing to be living like I'm dying at 43, you know? And there was a lot of questions when I went in for treatment about, I can remember sitting there and asking myself, you know, I don't think I'm mature enough to go through this process. And then I said, well, what other choice do you have at this point? I bet you're going to be mature enough after you go through this process.
Oh, isn't that just an amazing statement? Well, Mark, you have literally what you've been through is an experience that so many people hear about, and I'm grateful that we're able to talk to you about that experience. We're about to go into break, and what I'd like to do, if you're okay with this, because we've got a picture that you are just an amazing, resilient person. When we come back, we're actually going to talk about what you're doing now and how you're inspiring other people. So we'll see everyone back in a couple of minutes.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like fish sticks. Filets, I get, but sticks? Maybe we can just compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with Brie?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
At one second, I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face-to-face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess. Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
License and registration.
But I'm walking.
Do you want to upset an officer of the law?
No, sir.
Good. I pulled you over today for littering.
I didn't litter.
Wow. That's what they all say. Unfortunately, I saw you drop a pair of thunder thighs a few blocks back. Probably happened as you were biting into that apple you're holding.
How'd you know they're my thunder thighs?
Well, my young friend, I'd like to say 2 years in the police academy helped figure it out. But between us, it was smallstep.gov.
Smallstep.gov?
Yep-a-rooney. It's this site with tons of easy ways to lose weight. Some steps are so easy, people don't realize they're doing them. Like you taking small step number 83, snack on fruits. Go to smallstep.gov, you'll see. You can drive off now.
I'm still walking.
Take a small step to get healthy at smallstep.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And now back to Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney and Kenny Brixey on Empower Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. We are here with Mark tonight. And Mark, before we left, we had talked about, we had started talking about releasing your old way of being and embracing the new way. Explain this just a little bit more. You know, how you'd also mentioned to us earlier about how you had to sync your outer and inner self. Is this where all of this comes together?
Yes. This is where it all comes together. You can't go back. And there's so many things that changed in my life. I'm a really flexible individual. So that was really the key to understanding that outer and the inner thing that was going on, is that you had to be flexible in everything that was going on in your life. And I've been able to bring that forward into my recovery process and everything else. So much was taken away, and beyond everything that I had to give up to go through this process and to cure the cancer. Now in my new life, there's so much I need to bring back. I had lost so many things. I literally, you know, because of the neuropathy, because of the lack of feeling, And the lack of comprehension, chemo fog, all the things that I had to work on in recovery, it changed me in such a way that I can never go back. And at first, you're such a different person, and it's really even hard to understand that reality, that you're not the same person that you were, and you have to realign. But you're realigning with something that you don't know what it is. So, you know, there aren't a lot of questions. You just keep moving in that direction, knowing that it's all going to work out. These things are going to come back. I have other friends in the area here that have recently gone through chemo and have had these same kind of experiences I have. And I just keep telling them over and over, just don't even worry about it. It's all going to come back. You're going to be fine. You know, and
Do you feel like you're more authentic now than you were before? Is this causing you to live a more authentic life?
Yes, it definitely is. I've always been kind of reclusive. I really kind of keep to myself, and this has really brought me out into the open a lot more than I used to be. And I've always had my voice, and I've always been willing to share. This is just a completely different experience, and really, you know, my whole community has just been welcoming me back as a different person. And it's amazing to go around and have people. I've lived here in Sedona for 18 years and they kind of don't recognize me now. And it's not because I look different. You do look different because of what you've gone through and losing your hair and, you know, all the effects from the chemo. But what they're seeing is something completely different. It doesn't have anything to do with the way you look.
Wow. You know, and Mark, you were talking to us before, when we talked to you the first time, with some of the side effects that you were having, you literally were having to retrain your brain. So at 43, you're retraining your brain to get through that fog, as you say. Do you feel like you're, because you've had to take those steps, that you're actually in a better place than you were before as far as just your thought processes?
Yeah, it was really great. You know, there's a lot of talk these days about rewiring your brain and getting your neurons to refire in a different way than they did before. And I was absolutely able to take advantage of that. I guess as I came out of that, and at first, it's a real disappointment that your brain isn't working the way that it used to. But once again, it just turned into a blessing. And I looked at this, and for some reason, it felt like this big empty space in my mind. And I thought, wow, it's all gone. There's all these memories and all this comprehension and all this stuff that I had put in there and all of my own doing. And so once again, it was just a big undoing. And I saw this as a huge potential to reformulate. I know it sounds a little different. To reformulate my brain patterns, and I just allowed for that to happen too. And I think if I would have resisted it, I would probably still be struggling with that and not remembering. But it was amazing. At a certain point, the memories that really made a huge difference in my life were instilled in there, and they started to resurface. And so much of the temporal activity that had happened in life kind of went away, and it's not there anymore. And so I'm happy to say that I have selective memory now, and it's a selective memory of the things that have really made the biggest difference in my life.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you were talking to us originally, you inspired me. I really don't go out looking for things to help stimulate my brain. I figure I read and that was it. But you had mentioned the site Luminosity that you had used. And I got to tell you, I got on there and I started working through it. It's like, ooh, I can do better than I'm doing now and I'm healthy. So I got to tell you, you inspired me to even push my brain harder than I've done in years and years and years. So that was a challenging site to look at. But I like the idea. I like the comment that you just made. It's like, if I had struggled and resisted all of this, I wouldn't be as far along as I am right now. So you were able to retrain your brain. You still have those good thoughts, those good memories, those good instincts that you've always had. But everything else, and I think you used the word temporal, that really wasn't serving you fell away and you were able to develop what you wanted to develop with your brain. That's kind of impressive.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, it's fully moving forward. I probably didn't see it that way, and that's how a lot of these things have been. You sort of don't know where you're taking yourself, but you have to be open to that possibility. And I've always been, you know, sort of an explorer, and I just use that ability, you know, in this entire process. And I'm just like, you're just striking out on a new exploration, and you're just going to see where it takes you.
Yeah.
It's certainly not going to take you to a bad place. It never has. Anytime I've ever chosen to travel in my life, it always takes me to good places. So this was just another adventure that I traveled on down.
Mm. Yeah. This is kind of along the lines of what we had talked about in our other conversation, where you called yourself an observer of your own life, and you reminded yourself that you're okay. Can you relate how the being the observer helps keep you on track? Because there are people that are listening that are not dealing with cancer, that are not dealing with that recovery, but that observer role can play a benefit in their life. Can you talk about that just a bit?
Right. It has a lot more to do with just being able to see yourself in that role. It's about being able to objectively see everybody else around you too. It was kind of a big deal for me. And going through this process and going through the chemo and the treatments and even the recovery, being able to see, you know, everyone around me and my support system and, you know, how they were all reacting and whether, you know, that was really going to be benefiting me or not. You really have to be able to see that. And at a certain point, you know, you have to say no. If somebody's freaking out and stressing more than you actually are in your process, you know, you kind of have to gently, you know, have them, you know, be over to the side, because it's very important when you're taking that observer role, because you are the one benefiting, you know, by sitting in that position.
That's an amazing perspective, because as someone who has watched someone go through this type of thing, in my role, I just wanted to take away all the pain and what can I do? And it was probably more mothering than it was anything else. And if you look at it as you have as an observer, to say it's all going to go through as it needs to go through. We just need to allow this process instead of resisting it, because the more resisting and churning that even I was doing as you know, not the person going through it, we need that education. We need that perspective. And what an amazing thing to be able to do, to be an observer of probably one of the toughest challenges anyone could ever face. When you look back now, because you said that you were pretty much reclusive before all this happened, yet you had friends and people in your community that came together to help you. How did that make you feel?
Well, it was a wonderful experience again, I didn't need a lot of attention, but there was these very specific moments where somebody just showed up. You couldn't explain it. It was even at that moment where it was just so critical, and somebody just showed up at that moment. Whether it was, you know, at a certain point, I lived alone while I went through this process, and at a certain point, your house turns into something that looks like a tornado went through it, because you just don't take care of it. You know, you're just like, that's not important. I'm uninterested in dealing with any of that stuff. And at a certain point, somebody will just show up and bring everything together for you so that you can continue going down this, you know, this path. Or you would come home from treatment one day and, you know, sitting on your counter would be this, you know, all this bottled water and toilet paper and all these different things that would just show up, and nobody felt like they had to be like, this was from so and so. It was kind of just like an angel showed up and dropped these things off for you. Mm-hmm. And it does make you feel really good. It is the littlest things that make the biggest difference.
So, Mark, tell us now, you have taken your experience and you are out, and that's how we learned about you. You're out sharing your experience and inspiring. What's your mission now? What truly is in your heart and soul that you want to do for others?
Well, you know, at this point, it really is about sharing your story. It's the same thing. I mean, you can't show up too big for anybody. So, you know, you kind of have to just get the message out there, and so that people can become aware. And I know that there's something different happening, and it's really happening in all our lives right now. I think these are pretty critical times that we're all going through. And to tell you the truth, I don't know too many people who aren't having these challenges come up in their life. You know, it could be anything. And it's going to be different for everybody, but that's part of the mission, is to let everybody know that these changes that we're all going through, you know, it is going to be all right, and it's your choice to make.
That's incredible. That's really good, Mark. One last question for you before we have to start bringing this show to a close. You had mentioned affirmations and how important they were to you. Can you briefly how did that work for you, and how can that work for others?
I guess we could go through life every day and we could just, you know, sit around and say affirmations and, you know, basically say that everything's going to be all right. But it's at these really critical times when affirmation really has the biggest effect in your life. I can remember, and I always told myself too, and I told my friends after all this, that you would have thought I was crazy to hear me in the middle of the night when I was going through the chemo, sitting up in my bed saying, you know, to myself quite loudly that I am going to be all right. I do have the strength to go through this, you know, and that was my special time. I didn't have as much luck in the middle of the day going around with all the wonder and all the expression from everybody else, kind of like, I don't know if you're going to be okay, Mark. That's what people were thinking, and you didn't want that expression. So I really had to take that time for myself and use the power of positive affirmation to, you know, gain my strength for the fight. And that's what I did.
Wow.
Well, and you must have been, as you're taking that with you, that must have affected the other people that are sitting there beside you in a chemotherapy chair, going through their experiences, as you're staying as positive as you are too.
Yeah, it had a big effect, not only on the people, the other cancer patients, but also on the staff that works at the treatment center. You know, it was amazing for them too. And I still like to go stop in the treatment center, you know, on occasion and go see everybody. And they're every bit as amazed, you know, that how far I've come in such a short time.
It's amazing. And I imagine you were an inspiration to everybody around that center. Mark, what's next for you? What do you have on your horizon?
Well, what I always told myself and what I told everybody as I went through this process was, and this is what kept me going also, this is another one of my mantras. I want to be able to climb mountains again. I was able to climb mountains, and I've traveled around the world, and I've climbed some pretty good sized mountains in my time. But in the middle of treatment, you definitely felt like you might not be able to climb mountains again. So that's what I kept telling them. And I don't know how many times I said that. I probably said that every single time I was in treatment and forgot the next time that I said that the time before. But that's what I kept saying. I just want to be able to climb mountains again. And that has a lot more meaning in my life than actually climbing a mountain.
You've climbed the biggest one ever.
You've climbed a large one, but somehow I get the feeling that we're going to see stories about this Mark Mather, this cancer survivor who went to climb whatever mountain you chose to climb. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can just see it in the press right now. So I'm visualizing you on the top of Mount Kilimanjaro or one of the big ones. Or do you have any desire to climb K2?
Oh, geez. I don't know. That's a good one. Well, I think I'm at this point right now where things have come back so nicely, everything but the physical.
Sure.
And I still, that's my way, how I still like scare people on a daily basis. As I go, look at my bicep. It's only as big as a hot dog at this point. You know, so there's a lot of work to do on the physical level. I know in my mind I can do these things, but I'm still really straining on the physical level. So I'm looking forward to that. These next few months are going to be dedicated to bringing my physical back in, because I was like super strong before I went through this. You know, there was no problem. You could put any weight on my back and I would carry it right up that hill. So, you know, that's something I'm really looking forward to coming back into my life. And I do see that. And another good thing, if I can't muster up the strength right now to go climb some big mountains, I would choose to go work with animals. And that's another big aspect in my life. So if I can't get up the strength for something else, I'll probably be sitting around with some animals somewhere in the world, being buddies with them.
Yeah. Well, you are literally just months out of chemotherapy, correct?
That's right. Yeah, it's just been a year. Just been a little bit over a year. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing. I'm happy that my hair has come back. That was an interesting experience. I had always thought about shaving my head and what that might feel like. And that was another important moment. And I don't have the pictures to share, but, you know, my friends are still amazed because, you know, about 3 weeks into chemotherapy, I started running my fingers through my hair, and I had long hair. I started running my fingers through my hair one morning and pulled them out, and there was my hair in my fingers. And I told my friend right then, I go, you're going to shave my head right now. And she said, no, I don't want to do that. And I said, it's okay. It'll be fine. And I laughed through that whole process. And she has some pictures of me smiling and, you know, being quite jovial during that time too. So, you know, that's the best way. It really is.
Well, Mark, you truly are an inspiration. And, you know, I sit here for anyone that is listening right now. Mark Mather's website is www.markmather.org. You can read about his journey. You can read about what he's doing with the animals and the rainforest conservation. And his website is Wake Up, You Are the Eyes of the World. So I love that header. And we just really appreciate you being here and sharing your courage and your resilience, because I can guarantee you, you've inspired me more than I can probably even say. So
definitely.
Thank you very much for being on the show. And Mark, we'll catch up with you again soon.
Yeah, great. Thank you guys so much. It's been a pleasure.
Wonderful. We'll talk to you soon, Mark. Well, Kenny, I don't know about you. It's just this short period of time listening to Mark. What resonates with you over this whole conversation?
Oh, everything. he is such an inspiration, and to see the, not just that he went through that whole process, but the way he went through it. So I guess the two things that resonate the most with his journey for me was, first of all, letting go. He let go of things that just did not work for where he was going. And it was not that he just let go of things that he didn't like anymore. He let go of things that he did like, but that weren't serving him. And that was very, very powerful. I loved that. And then the second was just your attitude and your perceptions through the whole thing make the entire difference. It's, you know, he's a perfect example of everything in life is a choice. He didn't choose the cancer, but he chose how he was going to deal with that and how his life was going to turn out. Very, very powerful.
Well, and I'm sitting here and writing notes as I go through this, but there's one thing that he said that just stuck with me, and it's something that I think is universal, but with his experience, he probably appreciates this more. And his comment was, you have every moment in your life to exist. Well, yeah, but do we really even think about that? Every single moment is an opportunity to live to the fullest, not just, okay, I'm overwhelmed because I'm going through everything that I'm going through. This is your life, every single moment. Is a choice for us. And, you know, I feel like I am blessed that, you know, I personally have stayed healthy. But wasn't that an amazing comment? I was never sick a day in my life. That's exactly what he said. And then, you know, and that was the same case with Jack. He had never been sick. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, these wonderfully kind and giving and hardworking people are cut to the knees because they're going through this experience, but they keep this attitude. Mm-hmm. I am just amazed. But you're right. He was talking about flexibility. And he saw himself through this with a lot of courage. But beyond that, he saw himself as still having the core of who he was as a person. Mm-hmm. Even though some of those other things weren't working as well, his brain function wasn't working the way it used to, his memory wasn't working the way it used to, his body doesn't work the way that it used to. But he saw that as an opportunity to make it different, to make it better. So I love that, you know, he looks at rewiring his brain synapses. It's like, man, I would have never thought of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. He stayed conscious through the whole thing. He didn't just let it happen. He didn't just ride a wave. He stayed conscious and aware of the direction he was going physically, mentally, everything. Yeah. And was able to maintain, maybe not all the time, but maintain a very positive attitude. And I really do believe that that's the key to life. If anybody ever wants to know the secret to life, I think that's it.
Well, and I'm hoping that this is one of these interviews that people will replay to those that are going through stressful times, because he truly, and I think he's right, we're all going through something. It doesn't necessarily have to be cancer. We've listened to a lot of people this week that are losing their homes or losing their jobs, or, you know, their marriages are breaking up. There are a lot of things that everyone is going through at different mm-hmm. degrees. But when you realize that it's going to be okay, if you quit fighting and resisting, and he was a great example of this. He let it happen, was aware of it, observed it, but didn't get caught up in the struggle and the stress, which I know is a very hard thing to do. Yeah. But if you can step back and observe it and say, it's going to be fine, let's just ride it through, the more you struggle with it, the worse it comes.
Yeah, it's like quicksand. The more you fight it, the more you get sucked into it.
That's very true. But he just, this is just one of these interviews, this conversation. I consider Mark a friend and someone that's out there sharing positive inspiration. And, you know, my motto, the more people share, the better this world gets, and from whatever sources. And he's just such a great example of how you can not just overcome and get through, but thrive. Mm-hmm. And his positive attitude, even as he says, his body's, okay, I had this graphic of him talking about his, you know, bicep being the size of a hot dog. It's like, he's still thriving mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. he's moving forward. So,
exactly.
Well, this has been a wonderful show to go through. And, well, Kenny, it's the end of another hour. So, if we could just, where did it go? It just flew through again. Yeah. Well, a couple things coming up for those of you that are listening. Just want to let you know that the Simple Steps for Your Real Life seminar series kicks off on June 7th. If you're ready to move forward but want a partner to work with you, hey, join us. Again, it's June 7th. We're going to take a first class and help you design your own simple steps. And if you decide you want a little bit more help, we've got another 7 weeks if you want to come in and join us for that too. You can check out our website at www.simplestepsrealchange.com/learn. Again, simplestepsrealchange.com/learn. So, Kenny, any parting thoughts before we head out here today?
Oh, I just really do want to emphasize how important it is. Just back to Mark's conversation, just being aware of what you're doing and living consciously. You do not have to be going through a major illness. You do not have to be going through the death of a loved one or anything negative. Become aware of where you are, what you do, how you react, and how you think about all situations, and remove the limits. You know, your life is unlimited. That's what Cheryl and I teach and talk about all the time. There are no limits. It's simple steps, and you do that by simply being aware.
Well, and just one other, from my perspective, one other thought as we go through this, and this is a good one. You can't go back. You can't go back and change it. You can't go back and make it all go away or make it better. You're living in this given moment. So it's about what can you do right now to make the life that you want it to be in this moment, at this time. So he's been an amazing inspiration for me. I know he has been for you too. And well, we're going to move on to the next week. On our show on June 5th, we are welcoming back Marilyn and Chuck. It's Marilyn Huff and Chuck Schmidt, who are the relationship specialists. They are my neighbors here in Hillsboro, Oregon, and they've written a fabulous article for those who are getting married. So since June's our month of relationships and marriage, that's what we're going to focus on our next show. So, Kenny, it's been great talking to you and Mark today, and we'll see you again next week.
It was great talking to you, Cheryl. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.